episode of Tennessee Fro is Breeding for This Decade. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In this episode, I plan on reflecting on why I created my podcast, why there will or will not be a living single reboot, my conceptualization or my personal writing retreat, how I binge watch Kevin Hart's Netflix docuseries, and the rise of intolerance of the past decade. And as always, I want to thank you for joining me in another episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading, and I hope you enjoy it just as much as I enjoy it. Actually really grueling. I created 12 and created, produced, published 12 podcasts in about 12 days. 13 days if you consider that I got distracted because I went to Virginia for the holidays and to watch the movie Star Wars, but I was able to have 12 separate ideas, mix it with music, and publish it to my platform. It was actually rewarding in and of itself, and I'm hopeful that it was encouraging to all that chose to download and listen. The highest downloads were from the December 10th, and granted that I do publish the podcast across all platforms, not just my Podbean, but iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. The most were on December 21st. There were almost 30 platforms, but I want to make sure that I fulfilled the whole goal of the podcast itself, because I created it and started publishing it as a protest during my bleak days when I was in the armpit of the South in Kentucky and West Virginia. I rediscovered my love of reading, and I wanted to bring the joy of reading to the masses, and hopefully you would find the same excitement as I would have. I've also decided that I can't publish detailed podcast notes within the Podbean platform because not everybody's going to see that. But what I can do is create extensive Podbean notes of the script of the podcast and publish it to WordPress, Medium, and maybe even Vocal. But I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to do it there because I get basically paid per reads and tips. I realized that in order to have a podcast, it doesn't take a whole bunch. It just takes having the proper equipment, which I have had since 2014, evidently. A laptop or a desktop with a fast processor with plenty of memory to store the media you need to use. A program that I downloaded for free from the internet called Audacity to cut, sample, and edit each episode. Pick your platform. There's a beta platform for on iTunes that you can actually create and publish your podcast on iTunes. But I think that's going to go away once iTunes actually goes away in its current state. As I said, you can publish for free on podcasts. They have basic services that you can actually get for free, but if you can also subscribe to the premium services to get more, to live stream and also to be able to edit your website. And it also allows you to monetize your efforts. So your craft and a hobby will actually may even pay for itself. I'm still looking for patrons. You can also become, through the Rakuten Network, publish links and banners as another source of income. Because as people click on the pictures and everything that you have embedded in your notes, you can actually, again, it's another stream of income. And that's where I'm going to lead into one of my advertisers, Alibris. I love Alibris because Alibris.com, because there are millions of books and textbooks and other nonfiction, et cetera, books that are available on this platform. And they actually have an end of the year sale where you can get single books at low cost from several different providers, but they actually have three coupon codes. And I just realized the coupon codes for $3 off of purchases of $25 and over is HAPPY, HAPPY. Also, the $10 off of $75 purchases are over, new. And then as of the last one is $20 off of purchases of $140 and over year. So the three coupon codes to get all of those variable price off is Happy New Year. And I'll actually embed that in the notes and you can actually navigate to Alibris to enjoy these further benefits or further discounted rates of great books, new titles at already deeply discounted rates. What else have I been doing over this past decade and actually over my time off? Well, I've been binge watching classic TV over the last couple of weeks, and I realized there are several shows from the 90s that I never watched while they were actually live. What exactly was I doing during this period of time? Well, I was actually in school for the most part during the 90s. First, I was undergraduate at Mary Washington College, now the University of Mary Washington. Then on to the University of Florida in Gainesville for medical school. And then rounding it all out from 97 to 2000, I was completing my residency at Children's Medical Center of Dallas in Dallas, Texas. With the exception of my beloved Star Trek, the shows I've binged, watched, and then rewatched, Frasier, Friends, Sex and the City, and now Mad About You, I never watched them while they were live on air for that entire decade. Well, besides stressing out and losing my hair and having a chronic sinusitis while I was in med school, I was actually getting an education and building my career. So I didn't watch any of those shows until most recently. Between all of the different streaming services and then now with Apple TV. The only show from the 90s that is still on air is from the original Law and Order series, which actually premiered in 1990, is SVU, and that I think is still on NBC. My beloved Star Trek, the original series, actually premiered in 1966, and it's had over a half dozen spinoffs, which I have watched all, seen all the movies, and I'm looking forward to the fourth season of, is it Enterprise? On CBS All Access in the first season of Picard, which is going to drop, according to my countdown on my website, is in 23 days. And I'll actually be talking about that on my Nerdy and Proud podcast with other Trekkies, hopefully. With the exception of the last truncated season of Living Single, which was actually shortened by, it looks like, about 16 episodes, I've also recently started binge watching, and I've actually rewatched it several times, Living Single, which I thought was twice as funny as those other before mentioned shows, but it spent less time on the air because it only lasted halfway through their fifth season, and the fifth season was kind of whacked if you've ever watched it. For those of you that are not familiar with the series, it's about six professional African-American, even Sinclair, which is the character Khadijah, James's cousin from Minnesota, that are living in Brooklyn, and it was removed from air after some dispute with the cast, one of the cast members, T.C. Carson, that plays Cal on the show. They've been talking about rebooting it since 2018. I haven't seen any more traction in the press recently. I've heard about the reboot of Friends. I'm watching the reboot of Mad About You, which led me to watch the original Not As Funny series. And I'm still ticked off at Spectrum because Spectrum evidently bought this series back and offered the original viewing on demand. And the reason why I'm mad is because I can't be reimbursed for my time watching and mocking the series. I didn't really like Jamie's sociopathic sister. Jamie is played by Helen Hunt, and her sociopathic sister, Lisa. I don't even know the character's real name. And I think Paul Reiser's character, Paul Buckman, is kind of stupid. I feel sorry for Murray the dog in the original series because he has to be with this crew of not talented humans. They released the first six episodes of the rebooted series back in October. And then the next six episodes they released on December 18th. And today is December 30th. And I sat today and I binge watched all of them. And one of the things that I'm just still not so impressed about is this way middle-aged crew and the nightmare of their fictional child. That's her name is Mabel. In this episode I was watching when I was actually creating the script, their marriage counselor is the most inept being of all. She recommends that they split up, but they, of course, don't listen to her and end up going to what they thought was a marriage retreat. Ended up being they were in the wrong room because they don't listen to each other. It ended up being a team building retreat for real estate agents. But what was distracting me even more was the fact that Helen Hunt's face didn't move. It was a combination of a crazy facelift and some Botox and some fillers. But her face was just kind of throwing me off. And I still felt bad about the new dog, Walter. That's their new dog. Welcome back to the episode. Well, I've had the opportunity to think about not only my podcast, but also what it takes to have a powerful and successful reboot of a television series. And I'm genuinely interested in seeing the necessary reboot of Living Single because, you know, after the 90s, there seems to have not been a renaissance of sorts on the national network. We see many shows that have graced OWN, which is Oprah's network, as well as now on BET with Tyler Perry's multi-million dollar, multi-episode deal for several shows. He has to pay for what I see, that massive studios that he's built down in Georgia. But we need to see positive representation of us on the air. And this is what that show represented. And there are five, I think, five considerations you have to think about when you do reboot a show, and especially a show of the caliber of Living Single. It takes money to make money. You have to look at the true cost of rebooting the show, and starting with the actors and actresses' salaries needs to be taken into consideration. At their peaks, I believe the cast members of the shows Frasier, Friends, Seinfeld, Sex and the City make close to $1 million USD per show. And I have a feeling that that was only a fraction of what the cast members of Living Single made. But they were twice as talented. The Living Single cast, I don't think, need to be bought back for less than $500,000 a piece per episode. I was researching photos for this segment, and I was just struck by just the general beauty of all of these characters. And I think the women were just a genuine, beautiful collection of youth and of just brown people gone wild, or just brown people in all of their beauty. And that blackface representation of Kim Kardashian, you can't put that much makeup and ignore the natural beauty that is us. If you want black representation, there are just so many great, beautiful representation of that in our population. You don't need to put a white woman in blackface. I don't care if she is Armenian. But anyways, I think Obie and Sinclair, they're going to need to be a couple. They should remain a couple. I think before I get into who needs to be bought back, I believe that the original cast members need to be bought back and given them opportunities to recreate their characters in the now, give them a say in their style, and allow them to write with the supervision of the writing dream team. Obie and Sinclair, John Henson, and who is Sinclair's character? I'm going to have to look her up. Crazy, who played Sinclair in Living Single? Kim Fields. Oh boy. Kim Coles. How did I know that? You would think so, but anyways, I would think that both of them would need to be brought back. See if the character Obie, because John Henson actually had a wreck in 2000 that almost took his life, but they, as a successful black couple, need to actually be still together in the show. It would be great if they were the parents of the twins that are playing in the NFL for the Seahawks. I think they also have to have a little girl, but she would be in her 20s now because the show is almost 30, was dropped 30 years ago. But she could be, she's the only one that actually took after Obie. She manages the apartment buildings that now her parents own, and she is a fix-it girl. Obagina or something crazy would be her name. Queen Latifah, star was just canceled, and she's absolutely beautiful in all of her current state. She would be the CEO and president of Flavor Entertainment. Basically, that character would be based on like how Kevin Hart and Heartbeat Production has blown up over the last 10 years without all the messiness. However, Max would be assisting her in fighting internet trolls led by her ex-boyfriend Scooter, who wants a piece of Flavor now that she's so successful. They never married, and he never could fix his mind around the success of a strong black woman. And I think her husband, played by Rick Fox, ex-NBA star, the only equal, to the Urbane Khadijah. Could be Rick Fox. And also, we would have to bring back Regine Kim Fields in her natural gray dreads. And she would return to Brooklyn after her stint on Real Housewives of Atlanta. However, because she actually married a producer and was actually on that show for only one season, but she divorces the husband, comes back to New York on alimony, and she actually has spoiled daughters who are an exact replica of the original Regine. Then there would be Maxine Shaw's character, played by Erica Alexander, and she did make New York State Supreme Court judge by her 40th birthday. How she and Kyle managed not to kill their only son, who would be like about 24 or 25. He would be a supermodel. I would consider his coming out on the show, and maybe even addressing Kyle Barker's sexual fluidity. I think it either one of them or both of them coming out would be a very interesting storyline. I mentioned before about the writing dream team. Of course, I would love to be a part of it, but I think if you're going to write a show about us, for us, it needs to be written by us. There are many talented African-American writers in our country that could definitely reboot this specialized show. I think they need to be African-American because only an African-American can truly write and detail our experiences because they've walked in our shoes. The original creator and executive producer, Yvette Lee Bowser, needs to be brought on as a writer and the executive producer if she's so interested. But there are so many other great people like Orlando Jones, Lena Waithe of Slim and Queen and Slim, Issa Rae, who have a proven track record of verbalizing the Afrocentric experience. And it would be cool, since it's so cool to be Black again, why can't you use our talent to write about us, not what you want the version of us to be? And that's what I think that group of very talented individuals would bring to the table. It would be great if they could film in Brooklyn on William Street or the likes. I think the authenticity of the episodes would benefit from that. They could shoot in Brooklyn or Brooklyn Heights or even Crown Heights. They could consider taking over and revitalizing one of the streets in Brooklyn to keep the money local and to use those funds to continue the phenomenal growth and revitalization that Brooklyn has seen in the past year. Who has the kind of juice of a production company that could actually bring all of this together? Eva DuVernay, Jay-Z, Spike Lee, Tyler Perry, Oprah all have the financial backing and the clout to produce a production of this magnitude. They have the connection to negotiate reasonable rates and given the cast the freedom to contribute, to create, and to buy into the success of the show. This would ensure the show's longevity past five seasons, potentially. I would consider having an on-staff consulting life coach and psychologist to talk through conflicts and making the set a no passive-aggressive zone. This type of passive aggressiveness and toxic work environment may have contributed to the original show's demise, termination of T.C. Carson, and non-contract renewal of Kim Fields. They were probably visionary talking about these same things in a time when it wasn't as acceptable to give this creative freedom to any actor or actress, and definitely not to that one of color. Which network has the balls to actually host this? Consider a limited release on any number of the leftover cable companies, like Spectrum did for that non-talented Mad About You cast, but also consider doing it on Hulu, Netflix, iTunes, or Freeform, just to test the audience and general response of the public to see if there would be a positive enough response, and then offer a sliding scale increase in salary of the cast, writers, and crew if more episodes are bought and ordered. This series has a massive appeal to people of my generation, their children and grandchildren. It still is a groundbreaking representation of where we were as a society, where we are now, and as a society and as a people. Now, just for a small break, to talk about another one of my advertisers. Right now, Gaiam is allowing their customers to take a break from themselves and to get out of the stress cycle. Navigate to Gaiam through yesterday, and I'm thinking hopefully they've extended this. You can actually get additional 30% off of Gaiam's Relax collection with coupon code RELAX30. Combined with free shipping and all orders over $75. This is a deal that you can't sleep on. Reason why I was talking about, now that was just right on time and apropos, because I was supposed to be doing or creating this podcast. I was creating this podcast from on board of Amtrak. I had read about on Medium about a riding retreat on the rails. However, my day job did not release my bonus in time, so I was not able to book the series of sleeper cars needed to go on this trip. So I'm actually doing my riding retreat from my house here in Fayetteville. I plan to catch the train from the new Central Station in Raleigh to Charleston to Savannah to New Orleans and then on to San Antonio. The great thing about being on a train is you can bring your own food, or you could sway your way to the main food car. The food is actually, you know, microwave and pretty, you know, fast food standard. But you can also bring your own food, adult libations on board. If you have your own sleeper room, you can use your own bathroom for those longest stretches and to take care of your own personal hygiene. But you also can sit in the station and in the car and just observe people that you can actually add to your narrative. You can't rewrite some of the people that you can actually observe on the train. This time of year, I wanted to stay as in the South as much as I possibly could because I couldn't trust the weather. And if you've been watching the Weather Channel, there's been 1-2 punch of snowstorms all across the Midwest and the Rockies and even in California. So I thought I could head to San Antonio, make that quick changeover, and get back in time to start work again on Monday. However, I was thinking about also, I didn't think I would have enough stamina to be able to stay on a train again for that long period of time. So I was also going to go to San Antonio because I could always fly back. But that's when I also started thinking about other things, about reposting my house here in Fayetteville back on the Airbnb or VRBO platforms, offering it as a writer's studio for others with the same destination in mind, where you only want to take breaks enough to get something to eat and to walk around. Stare out at the lake, and then create your own narrative. That's what I actually wanted to do on the train. But the whole idea of relisting my house again and preparing it to receive boarders, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. But I will take the time to write each and every day. And you can, I can still put some of the things I was actually going to do on a train to good use here in my home. For example, what am I going to write? You can need to consider setting a daily word count per day. 25 to 3,000 words is not a bad thing to be. Whether it be the script for your podcast, writing your manuscript, editing, manuscript editing, blog post, you should have a realistic goal per day set. Having a location without distractions is key, but necessary interaction with public to serve as inspiration for your craft is also key. Since I'm off this week, I'm probably going to head out to the public library. I like to people watch there. Although the central library here is not as exciting as it was in New York, I think it still has the added pleasure of some interaction and observation opportunities with the general public that you need. If you are going to change locations or consider doing a writing retreat on the train, you actually have to have durable luggage like Away or even Samsonite or Tumi, with chargers for your electronics, multi-directional wheels for easy maneuverability between the cars. If you want to tune out the clickety-clack and a crying infant with the ear infection, consider ordering and purchasing Raycon or Beats noise-canceling earphones. Download shows like Living Single that can serve as white noise or black noise for that matter to drown out the distractions also. Consider using voice-activated dictation applications like Dragon if you think faster than you can type accurately. Besides dreaming of a writing and reading retreat, binge watching Living Single over and over again, I did binge watch the Kevin Hart's Netflix special, which is a docuseries of his life, evidently. I've actually been a Kevin Hart fan for a number of years. I've watched all of his specials since 2009. I've paid money to see him in concert 3 times, twice in Charlotte and once in D.C. I've basically seen this guy's career blow up from the comedian giving out tickets for his first Netflix special just to get butts in the seat, to Say It With Your Chest, pyrotechnics, and selling out stadium. And that Say It With Your Chest has become part of the vernacular. I've seen the whole 9 yards. It wasn't until his docuseries that I had no idea about the depth and breadth of Kevin Hart productions with the Laugh Out Loud Entertainment and the success of his XM channel. He is much more than just the generic stand-up comedian, and it made sense when Dave Chappelle was talking about how he had gone backstage and taken his son to see Kevin Hart and gone backstage, and how he was just a rock star in his own right when Dave Chappelle went back on the show. It doesn't compare to how Dave Chappelle was when he left entertainment the first time and then he came back. Kevin Hart blew up. He made some stupid mistakes since 2017. The whole docuseries was about him controlling his narrative, and it seems like he was just stunting for the camera, but he was riding on this high of success, producing his old movements, but then all of that came to a crashing end when someone from his inner circle, the Red Cup Boys, sold him out by taping and then releasing him wilding out and cheating on his wife in Las Vegas. His wife was pregnant at the time. He had it all, and he was going to piss, and he almost pissed it all away, and his response was poor. Then again, this year, he was dragged for old tweets from 2009, which were critically homophobic and aggressive, and he apologized for it, but he didn't apologize enough for the media and the internet trolls. He says, "I've apologized. I'm sick of talking about it. I ain't gonna talk about it no more." Again, his response was poor. He was so pig-headed, he didn't listen to anyone around him. And he's paid the price for that. He was always known as the nice guy, but with these two debacles, he just came off as some rich asshole thinking that he was going to get away with it all. And his audience turned on him in a heartbeat, no pun intended. He thought he was just too nice and too much above all of that, but he really wasn't. And that was his humbling, I guess, the whole point of the docuseries. You are not too big to get bought down by your own pig-headedness. And not everyone's going to like you. Not everybody is going to come to your defense. You got to listen if you're going to allow them to get to your offense. And how your people in your inner circle will also sell you out. It did give me a great idea about what to who to base Khadija or Queen Latifah's her character and her life on. Kevin Hart or Heartbeat Entertainment does smack of flavor. Her whole goal about how she conducted her business and how she built it up from scratch. Both are talented, and I think his life could be serve as a template for the new rebooted character. Just saying. And I'm going to leave you with this other last bit. Who activated the Goon Squad? We've actually, in the past 72 hours, there have been attacks on another Hasidic Jewish party by African Americans. And then there was another, I think it was a suicide by fire in the Church of God down in Texas, where the deacons actually took out an armed shooter that rolled up in the Sunday service with the intent to cap as many people as he possibly could, but the deacon actually took him out. What I was found very striking was the service was live streamed, and there were not only the shooter and the deacon that took him out, there were like five other strapped saints in the sanctuary that also had their guns drawn and were also had activated and was going to take this guy out. When did we become a society of where you have to be strapped to go to church now? Where did all of this intolerance come up from? It seemed that the past decade, we've seen strides within the race. Then it seems like the release of the crack in the last 4 years, where intolerance of marginalized people becoming more intolerant of other marginalized people. The guy that stabbed all of those Hasidic Jewish people at that party at the rabbi's house in upstate New York was African American. What is going on with him? He was crazy, obviously, got crazy eyes, and his family said he was crazy. But just like in Jersey City, aren't we the lost tribe of Israel? Where is this rage coming from that we don't like other people that are just as marginalized as we are? I don't understand any of this. I don't think it's okay to call yourself a Christian and spew hate speech because of people of their own sexual orientations, or make fun of people because they don't have the same opportunities as you do, or if they were born in extreme poverty. You don't deserve to be treated by your own government. It's not okay separating kids from their parents and caging them. I have a problem with intolerance. Why are we exacting all of these negative things on each other? Aren't we supposed to love each other? I'm looking forward to the next decade with the renewal of hope of the previous decade presided over by the greatest president, Barack Obama, in his administration. I want to erase the last 4 years because we've seen setbacks, dial-ups, and turn-ups in the sake of making America great again when it just basically have illuminated the dichotomy between racism, hatred, and acceptance of bad behavior. It seems like for years people have been on their best behavior. Now they just, all this pent-up hostility, they're unleashing the Kraken on each other, and that has to go. I think all the trolls need to just shut it on down and go back under the bridges from whence they emerged. I'm very hopeful that saner heads will prevail. Times will get better and we will truly be great again because we are going to demonstrate that we know like we got some home training and we do love each other and we will support each other no matter what. This nonsense that's going on now, it all has to come to an end because it's not acceptable. And I'm just hopeful that we will get back to where we were of acceptance and doing better. I don't think anyone has to suffer in silence. I think all of us could use a little bit of talking. If you get some type of release from going to church, but I think there is so much that you need to unpack and that you need to deal with individually, everybody needs to be in counseling. And if we could make that a New Year's resolution, the more people that actually reach out for help, the less crazies we will have in 2020. If you know you need help and the struggle is real, call 1-800-273-8255. That line is available 24/7. There's an online chat feature at Suicide Prevention Online. suicidepreventionlifeline.org/chat/. You can also dial 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357 for 24/7 help if wine or grapefruit rosé is your issue. You can navigate to Talkspace and use code 100 4U to get $100 off of your first month of therapy. There's also Doctor on Demand. And I hope that your year will be just as blessed as mine is. I hope that you will gather something positive from this podcast and pay it forward. Share it with someone else that is in need or that's in need of entertainment, that they will find something that will give them an idea of to get help for their own psychological distress so they won't start and end 2020 as they did in 2019. And they will find positive in everything that ails them and have hope for the future, just as I have. Navigate to DalesAngelsInc.com for all special offers and updates on nerd news. You can drop me a line at TennesseeFroisReading@gmail.com or leave me a message, non-trolly that is, at 423-463-0658. And if it is truly non-trolly, I'll actually let it play or read the message online. And if you want to contribute to the success of the podcast, you can become a patron at patreon.podbean.com/thetalkingfro, or you can leave me a tip at paypal.me/FeliciaDAI. This has been a trip to have a way to create and to effect positivity and hopefully inspire someone else to create their own podcast, read a book, and look to positive entertainment. And I hope you've enjoyed this podcast just as much as I have enjoyed creating it. Thank you for joining me. Happy New Year.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never